It's the return of the wild style fashionist. Smashing hits make it hard to adapt to this. Put pizzazz and jazz in this. The cash in this. Master this. Blast this and make a clap to this.
DJ. Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. That was a little Rakim. Guess who's back? And we come back here with another episode of the podcast on Tuesday. And we kind of had a little bit of a back on track bounce back as well, too. A respectable weekend for NFL bets for the pod. 4-3 with the pod picks so far. Dell, where's that put us on the season?
We are 36-27, so we're doing pretty well. But there's room for improvement always, so we'll do that this week, hopefully.
All right, not too shabby here as we near the midway mark of the 2022 slate. And if you've been enjoying the Sharp 600, if you've been enjoying those selections as well, too, please rate and review the podcast or give us a thumbs up or whatever it takes on whatever platform you listen to. It's much appreciated. It helps us expand our reach. So we're not going to waste any more of your time. We're going to jump right in. 600 seconds on the clock, please.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Ooh, shake and bake. Little Ricky Bobby on a Tuesday. All right, we're 2 days into the week 8 betting markets here and some interesting line moves that we're going to look at first up. Thursday night football, which we'll get into a little deeper later on here. But this one here was Tampa Bay -3 last week on the look-ahead number. Reopened Bucks -1.5 after that stunner to Carolina. And then early money just comes in and just pounds the Ravens, moves this one over the fence all the way to Baltimore -2.5. We have seen some buyback. It's come down, settling around Baltimore -1.5. Injuries on both sides of the ball for two teams that are just a mess against the spread. A combined 0-7-1 ATS in the past 4 weeks for these two teams. We get another early morning kickoff from London in week 8 and the Broncos versus the Jaguars. This spread opened Jacksonville -4.5. It has trickled now down to as low as -2.5. Russell Wilson expected to play. That's if you believe Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett. You know, that guy always doesn't know what he's talking about. The Jags also dealt running back James Robinson to the Jets earlier this week too. So they're down a running back. Arizona opened as big as +5.5 at Minnesota on Sunday, and instantly that spread sunk like a stone. Play came in against the Vikings. And if you look at Minnesota, they're coming off a bye. They're riding a 4-game winning streak. But those four wins have come by a combined 22 points. They're 1-3 ATS in those games, and they've been outgained in 3 of 4 outings. This line now down to Minnesota -3.5. And the last line we're going to look at here is a toilet bowl of a game in the NFC South. I'm dying. That's how bad this game stinks. Carolina at Atlanta. Falcons open as big as -6.5. Pro bettors jumped on the points with the Panthers, despite the state of this franchise right now, and a potential letdown spot after that upset over Tampa Bay. Took the spread all the way down to Falcons -4.5. And so speaking of spot bets, the Panthers are our look-ahead spot for week 8. A letdown spot for week 8, featured in my weekly piece over on covers.com, where I comb through the slate and kind of pick out the best situational handicapping angles. Pretty cut and dry for Carolina here. You're coming off your biggest upset of the season and the second highest ATS margin for a dog since 2015. That's 31 points, +31 points. And with the sharp guy shrinking this spread and the best of the number long gone, do you really want to trust the Panthers at this point? I don't know. The look-ahead spot for Week 8 singles out the Tennessee Titans, who are in Houston. Now, the Titans coming off a big AFC South win over the Colts. That's 2 in hand against Indy. They have the inside track in the divisional race, and they have a huge conference clash with Kansas City next Sunday night in Week 9, which holds a ton of water in terms of home field advantage come the postseason. No one wants to go to Arrowhead in the playoffs. However, quarterback Ryan Tannehill nursing a bum wheel. He's questionable, leaving Tennessee to possibly go with rookie passer Malik Willis against the Texans here in Week 8. Given Houston's defense has just got awful, the Titans may be able to get in and out of Texas with wind, with Willis under center, and just a ton of Derrick Henry. They're giving, you know, that gives Tannehill some extra time to rest up for Kansas City in Week 9 and then not risk his health long term. So Titans currently -1.5 and a look ahead looming. The schedule spot is a doozy in Week 8 and got even worse. We look at the Chicago Bears, who are fresh off that upset in Foxborough as 9.5-point dogs on Monday Night Football. So not only do you run the risk of a letdown before we even size up the nasty schedule sped for Chicago here, but this schedule has them playing on the road on a short week in Dallas. It's their second straight road game. What's more, it's their fourth road game in 5 weeks and their fifth road game in 7 weeks. Someone out there making schedules hates the Chicago Bears. Bears right now bouncing between +9.5 and +10 against a dangerous Dallas defense and an offense that kind of got to shake the rust off with Dak back last Sunday. Tough spot for the Bears, even with all those points. So a couple week 8 bets from me here on Tuesday. I went over 41 points in Commanders at Colts on Sunday night when that line opened. Then, of course, Indy goes and benches Matt Ryan and sits him for whatever phantom reason they want to sit him, but he's just not playing well. And they put the ball in the hands of Sam Ellinger, and this move shifts the total down a tick, 39.5, but we're seeing it bought back up to 40. Shows you just how bad Ryan was playing. And Ellinger, he adds a different dynamic to this Colts attack. His ability to make plays with his legs, to keep plays alive in the pocket with that movement. And then also he can power what is an up-tempo, no huddle attack that we've seen from Indy, especially against Jacksonville 2 weeks ago. The Colts playing the fourth highest plays per game in the league, 10th in tempo in terms of seconds per play. And they get to come back home and play inside at Lucas Oil, fast track. Speaking of the Commanders, Tyler Heinicke, another backup QB, sparked his offense. And that's a big upset over Green Bay on Sunday. Washington, they only put up 23 points, but that's a massive uptick in terms of the past efforts that they put in under Carson Wentz. The Commanders, also an up-tempo team, fifth in plays per game, 13th in seconds per play. So I went over 41. I like the over, even with the QB switch for the Colts, over 40 sounds good to me. Thursday Night Football, we have a mess involving two of the messiest teams to bet on right now. We talked about the big line move in the primetime game, and as bad as the Bucs are right now, do you trust the Ravens in the second half? It's a big mess of a game. But I don't have a total or side bet in this game, but I do love this player prop. I'm going over 72.5 yards receiving for Tampa wideout Chris Godwin. He could be the last man standing here for Tampa Bay's receiving core, who was missing Mike Evans, Russell Gage, Julio Jones, tight end Cameron Brait, all those guys sat out practice, all listed as questionable heading into the short week. And on top of perhaps being the only capable pass catcher left, Godwin has seen his snap counts and his targets explode over the last 2 weeks. He's gotten healthy after missing time earlier in the season. He caught 7 of 13 targets in the loss to Carolina. He only had 43 yards in that, but that was more about the Panthers playing like a prevent defense with a big second half lead and protecting against the pass. And then we have Todd Bowles coming out and saying, we want to pass bigger. We want more explosive plays. And he points to Tom Brady and his only one interception. And he says, you know, maybe don't play a little passive. Let her rip. We have seen Godwin go over his passing total in the three games prior. And I want to add to that a thin Ravens secondary that has both starting corners listed as questionable. They're missing their starting safety. And it's a defense that has given up some big gains through the air, 26th in passing yards allowed so far this season. So I like Godwin to stay busy, go over 72.5 yards on Thursday night. So I'm a big Halloween fan, in my house. We don't get a whole lot of trick-or-treaters, however, and so I have to kind of steal my kids' candy. And with candy on the brain, we're going to match a holiday treat to one of these NFL teams. So the Green Bay Packers, they're Sour Patch Kids, and the cheese has gone bad. It is moldy. So, in fact, it's sour, like a 2-5 ATS record that the Packers have pushed down the throats of their backers. And Green Bay now catching 10.5 at Buffalo, the biggest spread Aaron Rodgers has ever faced. Enough to make your lips pucker. Just like you suck back some sour sugar down the wrong hole. Cleveland Browns, they're pixie sticks right now. Those tubes of sugar are just pretty damn gross when we're going to be honest here. But the high that you get from those kid version of crack is going to shoot you through the roof here. And the Browns over-under results going through the roof. Cleveland, the best over team in the league right now. 5-2 over-under, dumper of a defense, pretty good offense, says it all. The Philadelphia Eagles, Dell, you're going to like this one. The Reese Peanut Butter Cups, the king of all Halloween candy, goes to the kings of the NFL right now. The Eagles at 6-0 have multiple ways to win games, just like the multiple variations of peanut butter in the Reese family. Cups, mini cups, pieces with cups, ghost shapes, all that stuff. Passing, running, defense, special teams, takeaways. Whatever the flavor, the Eagles are hitting the spot, giving 10.5 points to the Steelers here coming off the bye in week 8. Eat them up because they taste pretty good, just like Reese peanut butter cups. World Series starts Friday, and who better to talk baseball betting here than my dear friend, covers colleague, Andrew Cayley here on the 2-Minute Drill. Andrew, Houston, a sizable series favorite. Do my Phillies actually stand a chance here?
For me, not so much. The Astros just have too many edges all over the board, particularly pitching. After the Phillies' top two starters, it gets a little thin in the rotation, and the bullpens just are not equal. The Astros are just way too deep there.
All right, so I saw Houston just mow down the mighty Yankees. What can the Phillies do to avoid that?
Yeah, you're not kidding there. 36 innings pitched, 1.5 ERA, and 50 strikeouts in that series. The Phillies need to be more patient at the plate than the Yankees were. Way too many bad swings there. They need to get guys on base, take a few walks if they need to. So if the Phillies do go deep, they can make those home runs multiple run hits as opposed to just solo homers.
All right, so correct series count from you. It sounds like you lean in Houston.
Leaning Houston here. You can get Houston at 4 to win the series 4-1 at +500. That's my favorite value on the board.
All right. No official starters for game one, but any leans seeing Houston -160 home fave, 6.5 total?
Well, I do think that if the Phillies do take a game, it's going to be game one if Aaron Nola gets the call. Verlander probably going for the Astros. We saw him get roughed up a bit against the Mariners in the ALDS. So there's a chance for the Phillies to take advantage of that spot as well. I like that value there.
All right. World Series MVP pick right now.
I'm going with Framber Valdez at 11-1. He has the type of pitching that can negate that pop from the Phillies bats. He has historically low ground ball rates, and that's how you keep the ball in the ballpark for him. If you like a bit more of a flyer for the World Series MVP, go with a guy like Yuli Gurriel at 30-1. He's heating up a bit right now and could be the kind of the Ben Zobrist kind of World Series MVP in this spot.
All right. So before we leave, though, 2023 World Series future worth a flyer. I got a feeling I know where you're going with this.
I could say the Blue Jays at 9-1, right? God, there's these Shohei Ohtani rumors going everywhere. But
that would be sexy.
Another team to look at here is the Cleveland Guardians once again at 40-1. They just won that division last season. I expect them to be better the following year. And that's just a great value there, considering the division is so bad.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you. That was a wrap on the Sharp 600. Thanks, Taco. Thanks, Dell. Thank you for listening. Be sure to show us some love. Rate and review the podcast. Give a thumbs up wherever you listen to us or watch us every week. We'll talk to you on Friday. Until then, good luck.